The following podcast is brought to you by The Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Good morning. On this rainy morning. Thank you for coming. It's Mother's Day. 2019. So today's the day we're encouraged to remember and honor our own individual mothers, however imperfect they may have been. And also the idea of motherhood. Maybe the energy of the maternal in all of us, male or female, that energy of the maternal, of nourishing the young, whether the young is a person or an animal or a plant or an idea or an art form, whatever we can find to nurture, whatever arises in our field of vision, we can nurture. And in that nurturing, we are a part of this archetype of the mother. And this time in our history, it's really good for us to be looking at these the quality of nurturance and the quality of destruction that are equally strong energies in our world today. We have only to look at our earth that we call the Mother Earth. Through all the different ages, through all the environments and the mountains and peoples that have lived here, the energy to care for and nurture the earth. So we can be grateful to those who came before, who cared for the earth. Right here, where we are in Manhattan, with all these massive structures being built everywhere. And a lot of us are talking a lot and thinking a lot about the taking of property, the killing and imprisonment of peoples who lived here before, the construction of barriers right now of the free movement of peoples on the earth. This land that we're sitting on, this narrow little island of Manhattan. There was a settlement of people here when the Europeans came, the Lenape. They lived here, hunted and fished. Apparently there were big piles of oyster shells near their villages around here. On the Lower East Side, they found these big piles. They enjoyed the oysters that were here. And they were part of a larger group of people, the Algonquin-speaking people, that all the way down Pennsylvania and Delaware, and up to the Catskills, these Algonquin-speaking peoples. And the reason I bring them up today in relation to Mother's Day is that they were a matrilineal society. Their whole kinship system was based on the mother. The children belonged to the mother's clan rather than the father's clan. So when people got married, they went and lived with the mother's family. And it was the sisters and aunts that took care of the children. It was a different kind of society than we are. So just imagine that taking of the mother's name. I wouldn't be Pat Inky O'Hara, I'd be Pat Inky O'Malone. Oh, but then there's where my mother got her name, and we'd have to go all the way back to the Neanderthals to find our proper lineage. But the leadership in the Lenape peoples went through the maternal line, the leadership of the community. It was the women elders who decided the different leadership positions, and they were the ones that made sure that the fields and the crops were equally distributed among the different clans. So they, and they are even the ones that selected the warriors who went to battle. So the men worked in the fields for the women, but they were the hunters and the warriors when there was a conflict. But it was the women who selected which warriors would go to the battles. And there's this really amusing aside that I read, I have to share with you, by this historian of the peoples that lived right here. The interesting thing about this particular tribe is that Europeans were highly confused about the importance of women within the society and their ability to select male warriors for battle, to grant permission of land rights and elected male leaders of the tribe. Even though they worked much in the domestic sphere, their ways of electing leadership was not in line with a patriarchal society. In the eyes of a patriarchal European society, which was not familiar with the customs of the Lenape, their understanding of the typical gender roles they associated with their own culture was much confused with how the Lenape society actually functioned from a matrilineal and matriarchal perspective. So this is, you know, the Europeans came and was like, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense to us. We don't know what this would be. And of course, that's a civilization that was essentially destroyed by the European settlers. Some remain. Those that were not killed were sent to Oklahoma, to what we had newly called reservations, imprisonment systems for the natives. And a few escaped to Ontario and live in the Ontario area. To this day, you'll find some Lenape, Algonquin-speaking natives there. So I'm thinking it's not so surprising that a patriarchal society would not understand what they were seeing, what was right in front of them. I wonder what else, where else we can find that matriarchal energy. It's also true of some strains of Buddhism. In fact, our own strain of Buddhism in the Mahayana. We have what is called the Prajna Paramita Sutras. And the Prajna Paramita is called the mother of all Buddhas. The mother of all Buddhas. It is a teaching, a set of sutras, who essentially are seen as giving life, sustaining and nurturing the teachings of the Buddha. So what sutras are these Mother of the Buddha sutras, Prajna Paramita sutras? The Heart Sutra is one. That's what we chanted here this morning. Also the Diamond Sutra, which we've studied. And the Prajna Paramita Sutras, you can come down to one syllable, ah, and go all the way to the Sutra of 100,000 lines. So that's the whole of the Prajna Paramita, the mother of the Buddha Sutras. What is that one line? We chanted it this morning. Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, doing deep Prajna Paramita, clearly saw emptiness of all the five conditions, thus completely relieving misfortune and pain. O Shariputra, form is no other than emptiness, emptiness no other than form. It couldn't be more clear. It is what all the verses and stories and koans in our Zen system are about. Oh, Shariputra, form is no other than emptiness. Emptiness, no other than form. There is no special thing to be found. No it to grasp onto. Rather, there is this life that you have moment to moment. And how you can express the light of compassion and wisdom at this moment in time. Not some idea, something you read about, sounded good, but this moment. Oh, Shariputra, form is no other than emptiness. Emptiness is no other than form. It encourages us to live our lives with compassion, with service, with joy, as opposed to grasping for some solitary experience, some special, selfish, individual insight that will make us feel better. The mother of all Buddhas teaches us that all Buddhas, and Buddhas include all of us here who wake up, those of us who wake up, or who she's talking about. Emptiness of our grasping is only one part of the vast emptiness of our life itself. What is that all about? This is very clear in the koan that our Path of Koan class is studying this month. It's in the Mumon Kan, and it's case 9, and it's called Daitsu Chiso Buddha. And here's the koan. Once a monk said to Master Seijo Okoyo, Daitsu Chiso Buddha sat zazen on a bodhi seat for 10 kalpas. That's a very long time. Buddha Dharma was not manifested, nor did he attain Buddhahood. Why? Joe said, your question is splendid indeed. The monk persisted, he did practice zazen on a bodhi seat. Why did he not attain Buddhahood? And Joe replied, because he did not attain Buddhahood. And Mumon's commentary is, the old foreigner may know it, but he cannot really grasp it. An ordinary person, if she knows it, is a sage. A sage, if she grasps it, is an ordinary person. And Mumon's poem, rather than give the body relief, give relief to the mind. When the mind is at peace, the body is not distressed. Why must the holy saint become a lord? So this monk is asking, plaintively really, huh? If in the Lotus Sutra there's a story about Daitsu Chiso who sat zazen for tens of millions of years and still did not attain Buddhahood, why is that? How could that be? Here I am sitting zazen. And of course, you know, it's the heartfelt frustration that all of us feel at different times when we get caught up in the idea that we're going to grasp something. Why am I sitting here all this time? My knees are aching. Why? The teaching of the mother of all Buddhas is that there's no solid thing to attain. It is empty of meaning. And this is kind old teacher says, your question is splendid indeed. What does he mean? What is that splendidness? The question illuminates the problem. Splendid, you know, shining, clear. You can see right through it. Splendid. Why did he not attain Buddhahood? Attain. In his study of time being, Uji, Dogen wrote, the truth, or the Dharma, merely manifests itself for the time being as an ordinary person. Because you think your time or your being is not truth, you believe the 16-foot golden body is not you. However, your attempts to escape from being the 16-foot golden body are nothing but bits and pieces of the time being. Isn't that marvelous? Because you think your time or your being is not truth, you believe the 16-foot golden body is not you. So you go looking for it. Dogen's teaching us that each moment of our practice, each moment of our life, and when we sit quietly, we embody, we realize, we become elusive, at one with what is elusive to us, which is this Buddhahood, this being awake, that which we seek so voraciously. Now, we may not realize it. Because if we've created an idea of what we want to attain, and thus we move away from the bits and pieces of our life, then we don't realize that we are the 16-foot golden body of awakening. That's here right now. So it's so hard for us to see that we are complete, just as we are. And it is our practice of Zazen that makes it so. We don't do it in order to attain it, we do it because we are it. So in Mumon's commentary, and you know, I read to you, the old foreigner may know it, but he cannot really grasp it. An ordinary person, if he knows it, is a sage. A sage, if he grasps it, is an ordinary person. So simple, so direct. I don't, sometimes I wonder why we think these koans are impossible to penetrate, when they just kind of like neon signs. What is it to be an ordinary person? To sit without wanting to attain something? To enjoy the gift that you give yourself? To sit and allow the mind to rest in the breath, the mothering of self and other, the mothering of your mind. We miss it when we grasp for it. We turn it into something that we can't get it, because part of our creation is that it can't be gotten, so we don't get it. There's a great story that I love to tell about Kuan Yin, who is, you know, essentially the Chinese mother of all Buddhas. So there was a person who wanted to truly meet Kuan Yin, wanted to experience this quality of the mother of all Buddhas. And so he decided to meditate until he was able to meet the mother of all Buddhas. He was meditating very hard, sitting on a rock, practicing really hard, I want to attain Kuan Yin. And Kuan Yin was delighted to hear that this young man was doing this. So she decided to walk over and speak to him. So she tapped him on the shoulder. And he said, "Don't bother me right now. I'm looking for Kuan Yin." She tapped him on the shoulder again. She thought, this is really cool. This man wants to attain compassion. "Go away. I'm meditating. I'm looking for Kuan Yin. This is my practice." Kuan Yin shakes her head sadly and walks away. Sure, we struggle with our thoughts during Zazen. We don't want to get caught on one thought and spend the entire morning reiterating it. But it's not to attain, it's merely to mother ourselves and to say, "I'm going to drop that thought now and see what else there is in the universe besides the little mistake I made yesterday." Or whatever it is you like to drill down on. Huh? Going, looking for something somewhere else separate from ourselves. Kuan Yin tried to help that young person. It's so easy to get in the way, to set up a Buddha in our mind that we're going to attain. And it's so hard to recognize, to realize that the mother of all Buddhas is here right now. If we can accept that nurturing quality of our practice, our simple little rituals here, our Zazen, and later when we step outside on these wet streets that are out there, we re-enter the stream of our lives and we carry with us this energy of the mother of all Buddhas, the nurturing quality. So it's a good day to remember our mothers, however perfect or imperfect they may be to our view today. They gave birth to us. And other mothers have sustained us in whatever guise they may have appeared. There is the great mother, Prajnaparamita, who can protect us. Let's vow not to send her away when she comes to visit us in Zazen. Here's my closing gatha. "Ah, mother of all Buddhas, what are you doing hanging out in this space with creaking floors and noisy jackhammers? Could it be you'd like our attention?